There is something about the blessing of communion. It is a time of remembrance when we remember how much we need God, when we remember how much God loved us, when we remember that He covered it, He covered our entire lives. There's something about that feeling of remembrance of the restoration that God has for us. And the peace of restoration that we have to look forward to when God finally comes and restores us to Himself. And it is in these moments that we just cry out sometimes. I know I do. And I cry out to God and I say, God, do it again. That thing you did in my life that brought me to you in the first place, that moment in my life where I was broken and realized how much I needed you. God, do that again in my life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our God and our Father, we are here because we need you. We are here because you love us. Help us to share that with your people, so that we can share with them that you will continually renew us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. In the book of John, chapter 1, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 1, and I will read what was so eloquently read before, verses 11 through 14, and the Bible says, starting at verse 11, He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 11 says, He came to His own, to His people that He had made a covenant with thousands of years before. And He came to His own, those who He called His children, those who were called the children of God, those that He had set aside specifically so that He could use them to be a witness to the entire world. And the Bible says, but His own did not receive Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. And I wonder how many times we take our communion without receiving God. How many times we recognize that the bread and this grape juice that we drink is more than an act. It is a symbol of what we are saying that we need to do each day in our lives to remember that God, that same God who plucked us out of who we would have been had God not been in our lives, and we remember that we will receive Him not only today, but every day in our lives. And it says in verse 12 that they weren't born of blood. They weren't even born of the will of flesh, but they were born because of the will of God. Earlier in our video, talked about how you're a masterpiece and how the Bible says that you are God's masterpiece. And in the Bible here, it even reminds us that there are people that God calls according to His purpose that are born not because of their parents, not because of anything other than the fact that God had a plan and a purpose for your life. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh, because we needed Him to, because we didn't get it unless God came and became just like us. God came and he belittled himself to humanity just so that we could understand an inch of the immeasurable length of God. So that we could just barely have an understanding of who God is. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh, and what it literally means is that he tabernacled with us. Which is to take us back to the book of Exodus that reminds us that there was this tabernacle where whenever the people got up and moved, God went with them. And it says the Word became flesh and tabernacled and dwelt among us. And because God came to be just like us, and it is because of that reason that we have seen the glory of God. It seems as if we are people that belong to a God that is constantly coming to us, because if we were left with the onus or that responsibility, if we were left with the responsibility to go to God, we wouldn't do it right. I want to invite you to turn to a story in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And I'm going to read verse 13. A man named David had just died. And David, he came up with this plan to build this beautiful temple for God. But God told him his son would do it instead. And Solomon had spent a very long time building this temple. But it is finally complete. And now, it's telling us what happened after it was completed. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 2 Chronicles is in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 says in the English Standard Version, "And it was the duty of the trumpets and the singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised, the trumpets and cymbals and their musical instruments in praise to the Lord, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud." Verse 14 says, "So that the priest could not stand to minister before the cloud of God. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house." It says the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6:19, I will read this to you. It says, Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. You were not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. It says that the temple was so filled with the Holy Spirit that even those who had set themselves apart, who had cleansed themselves, who had gone through a ritual cleansing, who were the holiest of those in the community and were the representatives of the people to God, and those priests, when the Spirit of God filled this temple, could not stand in the presence of God, because when God comes into a place, even those that we believe to be most holy, even those of us who have done everything right, have no right to stand in the presence of God. Knowing this, Solomon says in chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles, Verse 18, but will God indeed dwell with man on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heavens cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? Recognizing how big God is, and that this cloud that has filled this temple, that has not allowed even the priest to stand there to minister to God, God has now come into this place and said, I will minister to you. And the recognition of Solomon, the wisest man known to us, recognizes this place isn't even big enough to hold God, let alone the earth. Yet will you, God, come to us? He goes on to say, recognizing that we will never get it right, recognizing that we need God, and he begs God. Verse 22, if a man sins against his neighbor and has made an oath and is made to take an oath and comes and swears his oath before your altar in this house, then hear from heaven the act and judge your servants. Verse 24, if your people, Israel, are defeated before the enemy because they have sinned against you, and they turn and acknowledge your name and pray and plead with you in this house, then hear from heaven and forgive their sin. Verse 26, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you. Verse 28, if there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence or blight or mildew, whatever plague, whatever sickness, whatever prayer, whatever plea is made by a man or by all your people, each knowing his own affliction and his own sorrow and stretching out his hand towards this house, oh God, would you forgive them? When he comes and prays towards this house, hear from heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls you when a foreigner comes and prays. And verse 36, and if they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you are angry with one of them and give them to an enemy so that they are carried away and captive to the land far or near, Yet if they turn their heart in the land to which they have been carried captive and repent and plead with you, saying, we have sinned, we have acted perversely and wickedly, if they repent with all their mind, with all their heart, in the land of captivity in which they were carried, and pray to this land, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, their prayer, their pleas, and maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you. There's something about coming into the presence of God. There is something that happens that humbles us when we see the glory of God working in our lives, where we recognize that even a temple, even this temple, will never be good enough unless we turn our hearts and our minds continually back to God. And they praise God, and they say a prayer. And then it says in verse 7, as soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And when all the people saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped, and they gave thanks to the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. We all mess up, and we all have these things in our lives that aren't going the way we want them to. And all of us at some point in time may have even questioned, God, are you even there? Can you hear me? Do you know what's going on in my life and in this current situation? Can you do anything about it? God, I can't feel you. I can't hear you. And then we come to these moments where we realize, God, I just need you to do it again. Because I did it again. When I was hurting, or when everything was just fine, I thought I could do it, and I didn't need you. But I was wrong. God, you do it again. You do something in my life. You fill the temple of my heart in the same way that you filled that temple in Solomon's. You come in the flesh and you made yourself known, and you came and helped me to recognize what it really means to experience God's love. God, can you do that in my heart? Can you do that through my character? Can you give me the opportunity to give the grace of your love to those I'd rather not? We call this the incarnation, where God came and became human. God belittled himself, made himself nothing, so that those who are nothing could understand him and recognize, you're something in my eyes, and you're worth everything to me. And so God calls us. And we respond, God, you are good. And your steadfast love endures forever. And we do it in those moments like these, where God shows himself in such a way that we cannot help but be broken. When God shows himself in such a way where we can't help but just hold on to the promises in which he has given us. And God does it again and again in our lives. In Mark chapter 15, it says, and Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Why is it that we recognize things after we don't have them? But I guess that's why we have God. Because even when we lose that which is everything, God resurrects it. 3 days later, God reminded us. 3 days later, God reminded us that he has won the battle. 3 days later, he reminded us it is once again God that comes to us. It is once again this same God that comes to us that is the reason we are alive today. And the reason that we can hold on to our prayer of oneness with God. It is the reason that we can take hold of the promises found in the book of Revelation. Let's say, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eye. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning or crying or any pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. God, do it again. In this life, in this temple that needs to be filled with your glory, God, do it again in my life so that I can remember that you have not finished. God, do it again in my life so that I remember that there will be a day where you will come and you will fill this temple, and not only this temple, but you will make a new temple, and you will remind us that this life is not all that we have. We have something far greater to remember, far greater to put our hope in, and that the moments and the circumstances that we have here that we can't understand or that we can't decipher or that we wish had never happened, never will when we are finally with God in eternity. And God says, behold, in the temple of Solomon, my presence makes things new. In Jesus, I gave you a new way to live. And as you sit here and partake in the communion while we worship God, God is making something new in you. As we remember, God hasn't given up on us and has something better for us. And as we cry out, God, do it again in my life, let us remember to share what God has done, will do, and will continue to do in our lives. This communion service, we're going to do something a little different. Our praise team will be coming up as the deacons are receiving the emblems and passing them out. And we're going to worship. We're going to worship God because he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. And so it might be a little uncomfortable. It might be a little awkward because you have the emblems in your hand while we're singing praises. But I want you to remember that these emblems are reasons to praise God. These emblems remind us of how much God loves you. So if you need to take your cup and put it in the cup holder, if you need to just hold your bread in your hand for a little bit longer, so that we can praise the God who died for our sins and resurrected to remind us that he is alive. Let's do it today.